Welcome back, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Very excited that you're here. It is Saturday, March 31st, 2007, 2 a.m. here on the Nose in the Central Time Zone. We have spent a lot of time here the last hour or so just discussing some news stories about Saudi Arabia and sort of what's going on there. It's very, very significant. We're going to do a couple more stories, and then I'll give you guys a chance to weigh in with your thoughts on any of this stuff, because we did four straight hours of news last night, a straight hour here. We're going to do some more, and then we'll take your calls. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. Toll free worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. However, if you don't want to talk, I'll keep going with the news, because as I said, the stories have built up months and months and months and months and months worth of news. And, of course, the way I do the news is I sort of look for patterns and whatnot, and I try to structure the stories in a way where you see a continuity as the stories progress. I try to keep it chronological as well, though sometimes I do bounce around. Okay? All that having been said, welcome to those of you listening on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org or maybe at franklyspeakingradio.com. We continue with our news segment by going to the Israeli press. YNetNews.com came out on the 28th. Here's what it said. Saudi Foreign Minister Prince Saud al-Faisal said Tuesday that if Israel rejects the Arab peace proposal, its fate will be determined by the, quote, lords of war, end quote. Well, that doesn't sound very good, does it? Hey, if you don't agree with our peace plan, the lords of war will descend upon you and they will decide your fate. What? Is that a threat? Sounds like a threat to me. I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. He said this in an interview with the British Daily Telegraph ahead of the Riyadh Arab League summit, which started Wednesday. According to the Saudi Peace Initiative, all Arab countries will officially recognize Israel in return for its withdrawal from all land occupied in the 1967 war. Now, how do you think the Israelis are going to feel about that? They're not going to be happy at all. The idea of giving up all this territory that they fought so hard for 6 days. Well, I'm being moderately facetious, but the point is, it is a point of pride. It's the idea of Israel giving up this territory is very, very, very similar to the idea of how the manufacturing of nuclear energy for Iran has become a source of national pride. To make any sort of compromise is a slight against your nation. You've lost face in the sight of the world community. And you are you've lost respect, and this is going to be a big issue. It sounds like it's not, but it will be, and you'll watch and see. It goes on. A Palestinian state will be established in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, with East Jerusalem as the capital. The plan also proposes granting the right of return to all Palestinian refugees, a clause that Israel is opposed to adamantly. The Telegraph quoted al-Faisal as saying that Israel could choose whether to accept the proposal or reject it. He said, quote, what we have the power to do in the Arab world, we think we have done. So now it is up to the other side, because if you want peace, it is not enough for only one side to want it. Both sides must want it equally, end quote. He predicted a gloomy reality in the event that Israel would reject the initiative, saying, quote, if Israel refuses, that means it does not want peace, and it places everything into the hands of fate. They will be putting their future not in the hands of the peacemakers, but in the hands of the lords of war. It has never been proven that reaching out to Israel achieves anything. Other Arab countries have recognized Israel and what has been achieved. The largest Arab country, Egypt, recognized Israel, and what was the result? Not one iota of change happened in the attitude of Israel toward peace. Very, very significant, folks. Stay with us. We got a short break here, but we'll be back in only 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com. Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and we continue with the news. Again, the story from YNetNews.com that we just read. Basically, you've got the Saudi foreign minister advising Israel that if they do not accept this peace plan, if that's what you want to call it, then there's going to be some problems. Now, obviously, think about it this way. In context of who is a more valuable ally to the United States, Saudi Arabia or Israel, who do you think is going to win? It's kind of a toss-up, isn't it? We give a lot of money to Saudi Arabia. Of course, we get oil in return. We also have been there, you know, for whenever they need us for various things, which is very, very infrequently. Israel is extraordinarily dependent upon the United States for a lot of reasons. Of course, we give them substantial amounts of money. We store weaponry in their country, in the case that we might need it. Of course, they are allowed to use it at their discretion. Some of those weapons deemed illegal by whomever makes those determinations. And like the cluster bombs and whatnot that were used in the Lebanon conflict. You know, these things, as well as more experimental weaponry, also utilized by the Israelis. And of course, that all comes out of the U.S. Bank account. It comes out of your pocket with your taxes and whatnot. You look at all of the money we give to Israel for protection and whatnot, and you can say, why do we do this? There could be a number of different reasons. I'll leave it to your imagination. But in the grand scheme of things, some would say, well, they're God's people and we have to protect them. And we have a God-fearing man in office. So we have to consider that. That's possible. I don't agree necessarily with that, because I think that even if you had, you know, if you believe that Bush is God-fearing, well, I don't know. We'd have to probably have a long talk about that. But at the same time, even those who don't necessarily use faith as a big platform, like Hillary Clinton, for example, you know, she's still loyal as well. So to Israel, I mean, and it just goes on and on and on. But anyway, it's very, very intriguing because this peace plan is not necessarily very beneficial to Israel. So what would their response be? You'd have to say, well, look, they're giving up all of this territory. They're making concessions to their neighbors. And it looks like it's all because of Iran. Because of Iran and Iraq stirring up trouble, that Israel's going to have to make concessions in order for there to be peace. Well, you know, they might have some issues with that. What does their leader think? Well, according to this story, which came out today, meaning the 31st, out of the Australian, Israel has ramped up its support for the Saudi proposed plan to extend its six-decade conflict to end its six-decade conflict with the Palestinians, describing this week's summit as the start of a revolutionary change in thinking in the Arab world. Very, very interesting. So this is being spun by Israel in a certain way. And, of course, those were some very interesting words of warning to Israel by Saudi Arabia, saying that, hey, look, if you don't accept this peace plan, there's going to be some war, and your fate will be determined by the lords of war. Implying, of course, that this is an issue that Iran is going to take up with Israel at some point. So Israel's people basically came out and said, hey, that's a good idea. Prime Minister Ehud Olmert yesterday praised the Saudi initiative and said that the region now realized that the existing Middle East order faced significant threat from other conflicts, such as the standoff with Iran. He renewed a call he made this week for direct talks with Saudi leaders and other Arab states that backed the peace plan. At the same time, his defense minister, Amir Peretz, warned that Israel must not be seen as the party that rejected the plan tabled by 14 Arab leaders in the Saudi capital of Riyadh. Its centerpieces were two issues Israel has previously rejected: a return to the pre-1967 war borders, and the more significant sticking point of the right of Palestinian refugees and their descendants to return to lands they inhabited before the State of Israel was formed. Now, that is deemed to be called the right of return, which is the exact terminology used in the Baker-Hamilton Commission, which has outraged a lot of people in Israel. And when they saw that Baker-Hamilton Commission, they were very, very concerned, not realizing, of course, that the Baker-Hamilton Commission, otherwise known as the Iraq Study Group, also authorized up to 100,000 additional troops being brought into Iraq, not to stabilize the situation there, because the destabilization was all our doing. Did you ever wonder how they find, you know, 300 people decapitated with their hands bound and others killed in execution style and others found tortured and whatnot? You think those are just Iraqis running around willy-nilly doing all that? Doubtful. It's possible, but doubtful in my mind. So Ehud Olmert is basically saying, hey, look, this is a great thing because the majority of the Middle East realizes that Iran is a huge threat. I don't necessarily see it that way. Amir Peretz is saying, hey, look, we can't be the ones to reject this. Now, that's an interesting point, which we'll get into later on. But he goes on. The story goes on, excuse me. Said Mr. Olmert, quote, the Middle East is going through a serious change which has been sharpened since the second Lebanon War. This process has brought about a change in the Arab frame of mind, end quote. Now, that's true to an extent. What he is saying is that now the Arab world realizes that Hezbollah is a huge threat, and they realize that Hezbollah is being backed by Iran and Syria, and if Hezbollah isn't stopped, then Iran and Syria, by way of Hezbollah, will have achieved many, many, many military victories and much more expansion there in the Middle East, including into Israel and other places. So that's not true at all. There was a change in thinking in the Arab world, and you know what that change in thinking was? That Israel is willing to facilitate conflicts, manufacture events in order to facilitate conflicts, in order to drag everybody into a bigger and broader war, which is why the concessions in this peace plan are the concessions are being made by Israel. And Israel realizes that. But again, the spin machine is in full force here. Ehud Olmert says, quote, Israel is no longer considered their biggest problem. This is a revolutionary thought. We are not deluding ourselves. They want us to return to the 1967 borders and implement the right of return. This did not surprise us. Saudi Arabia is the country that will eventually determine Arabs' ability to reach a compromise with Israel. Its willingness to lead and intervene is very interesting, end quote. Doesn't really sound like a big rah, 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 we love Saudi Arabia, does it? Their willingness to lead and intervene is interesting, says Ehud Olmert. Mr. Peretz said the plan was, quote, an important initiative and warned that it would be a, quote, mistake for Israel to ignore it and leave the arena for others, end quote. Arab leaders also urged Israel not to forsake the opportunities that the summit offered. Said Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, quote, I reiterate the sincerity of the Palestinian will in extending the hand of peace to the Israeli people. We should not waste more chances in the history of this long and painful cause, end quote. Saudi Arabia warned of dire consequences if peace were not embraced. Foreign Minister Prince Saud al-Faisal said Israel would subject, quote, not only the region but itself to dangers with unpredictable repercussions if it ignored the offers, end quote. The push for peace has been widely viewed as an attempt by Saudi Arabia to shore up its position as the preeminent power broker among the Sunni Arab world in the face of a perceived threat from the Shia Islamic Iranian regime. So in essence, what they're saying is Saudi Arabia is kind of the big player over there. Saudi Arabia is Sunni. Iran is Shia. Shia and Sunni in Iraq are duking it out. Now, the interesting thing, of course, is that the insurgency in Iraq is Sunni. Iran is Shia. Iran supposedly is arming their enemies against the United States, which is possible but unlikely, honestly. So when you look at this whole big thing, what you can see quite plainly is that the idea of destabilization fits in very nicely with this compromise. It fits in very nicely with this whole summit. It fits in perfectly with this overall picture, because you can see that the Saudi Arabians and other nations are realizing that there are destabilization techniques happening. So Israel is saying, hey, we have to embrace this plan. We have to make this whole thing happen. How do you think the Israeli people are going to feel about that? Well, Ehud Olmert has always sort of on the surface projected this idea that he would go along with any sort of peace being extended. Mahmoud Abbas, the president there of the Palestinian government, has seemed to me, in my mind, just in the perception, I don't know the guy, and I haven't voted for him and don't have a Yay Abbas t-shirt on, but Mahmoud Abbas has seemed to be relatively sincere in his quest for peace. Ehud Olmert, again, seems to try to project the same thing, but I disagree with it altogether. I think it's just a show. I think Ehud Olmert is there to embarrass the Israeli people, so that way they will take a stronger stance, and the next leader of Israel will be a much more hawkish, much more interested in taking a hardline approach to various things. And this story would seem to reinforce that a bit. This goes all the way back to March 25th from Reuters. So actually not too far. Former Israeli Prime Minister, former Israeli Premier Ehud Barak ratcheted up on Sunday his campaign to regain the helm of the leftist Labor Party, the first step to challenging Prime Minister Ehud Olmert in the national election set for 2010. Said Barak, age 65, to about 1,000 supporters at a rally, quote, with your help, we can return to lead the country and make the changes that are necessary, end quote. Opinion polls show Barak a front-runner to succeed current Labor leader Defense Minister Amir Peretz, whose popularity has plummeted along with that of Olmert since a widely criticized war in Lebanon last year. Now, I should jump in here with a little bit of perspective. Now, you have to understand that Israel, for the most part, has always been viewed as a military superpower. Now, you could say, wait a minute, what are you talking about, Frank? Superpower? I don't mean superpower in terms of size or in terms of strength, but in terms of effectiveness, they'd never lost a conflict or a war or anything like that. I mean, they've just been stunningly good at the whole fighting thing. However, they have now, under their belts, two perceived losses, both coming relatively recently. And we'll talk about those when we come back. Stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio in 3 minutes.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
One, two, three.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. We've got about 35 minutes left in the show. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. Just a couple more stories, and then we'll take your calls if you're interested. So again, we were talking about the two perceived military losses that the Israeli military suffered. The first one was their pullout in Gaza. That was perceived as a military loss. Hezbollah was credited as chasing Israel out of the West Bank areas. Okay, so that was one thing. The second thing was the end of hostilities of the Lebanon conflict, also attributed to a victory by Hezbollah. Hezbollah is seen now as the only military, I guess, ever to hand Israel a loss, let alone two. So these guys are just, they're revered over there against people who despise Israel. So basically, in essence, Ehud Olmert has given them the Lebanon loss. Ariel Sharon, with his compromising ways, gave them the West Bank losses. This is the whole thing. But obviously it has emboldened and empowered Hezbollah, certainly, in the minds and hearts of the people there in the Middle East who don't like Israel very much, and it just goes on and on. So think about this in terms of the pre-1967 borders. It means giving up more territory, okay? It means giving the Palestinians the right of return for them to move back into these areas that, for a lot of people in Israel, they viewed this as their territories for a long time. Now, think about it from this perspective. Israel has mandatory military service for its citizenry, men and women alike, which means that, you know, for the most part, if you were to go ahead and poll, let's say, the U.S. military, for the most part, they would probably give Bush a thumbs up rather than a thumbs down, for the most part. Now, when I say for the most part, why is that? Because you would say, well, he is the commander-in-chief, and we got to support our leadership, and at least in public, appear to support him. Now, in private, off the record, out of uniform, something completely different. But if you were to just take a poll of the military personnel, they would probably more or less support Bush by a much greater majority than the people in America who are in the civilian sectors. So what I'm saying is there's a reason for that, because they have gone through, the U.S. military has gone through the military system. They've gone through the training. They've gone through the education. They've gone through a lot of things, and they've been told repeatedly, this is your commander-in-chief, you serve him, no matter who he is. Now, it doesn't matter if it's commander-in-chief George W. Bush or commander-in-chief Hillary Clinton. Doesn't matter. You got to support the boss. So, you know, it's the power structure. It's how the pyramid of hierarchy works in the U.S. military. So what I'm saying is take a country like Israel, where everybody in this country of age all the way up has served in the military at some point in some capacity. Well, that means that they're very much pro-military. They're very much proud of their military accomplishments, and they're very upset by these perceived losses, both of which have come in the last couple of years. Whether they're losses or not, doesn't matter. The people there in Israel see it, and they're very offended by this, and they're very unhappy with their leadership as a result, which would be, of course, as we've mentioned, Ehud Olmert and Amir Peretz. Anyway, the story's about Ehud Barak, however, the former Israeli premier. It says, a dovish former general and commando, Barak took the party helm after former premier Shimon Peres lost a 1996 election to rightist Benjamin Netanyahu. Barak was elected prime minister, defeating Netanyahu in 1999 and soared to popularity a year later by withdrawing Israeli forces from southern Lebanon, ending a 22-year occupation. Barak lost the 2001 election after the outbreak of a bloody Palestinian revolt following failed peace talks. After spending 6 years in the political wilderness, Barak announced his bid to unseat Peretz in January amid a groundswell of allegations that the army had been ill-prepared. Netanyahu, head of the right-wing Likud party, remains the pollster's favorite to win a national election if one were held now, reflecting a hawkish turn in public opinion since the war and the lack of Israeli-Palestinian peace talks. So again, if the idea of peace in the Middle East and the idea of peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians involves surrendering more land, I really think that the majority of the people in Israel are going to be most upset with that concept. They're going to hate that idea. Benjamin Netanyahu has talked tough for a long time. In fact, I was fairly certain that he was going to win over Ehud Olmert in the last Israeli election, mostly because Netanyahu has basically said, hey, look, Iran, not a problem. We'll just go in there and kick their butts. I mean, that's some pretty tough talk, considering that we're talking about neighbors, basically. Anyway, let's look all the way back to earlier this month, March 8th, 2007. You can find this at infoisrael.net. It says, several new polls show Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert's popularity level has sunk into the single-digit figure, and the public is highly distrustful of their leader. According to a Channel 10 survey, if elections were held today, Olmert would receive only 3% of the vote, second to Peretz at 1%. By contrast, opposition leader and Likud chairman Benjamin Netanyahu would win with 30%, and Labor MK Ami Ayalon was found to be a distant second with 18%. Can you imagine that? 3% approval rate for Ehud Olmert, 30% for Benjamin Netanyahu. Very, very interesting stuff, folks. Stay with us. We'll come back, finish this up, and take your calls. 800-313-9443.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website EarnMoneyAtHome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the Success Team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. 25 minutes left in the show. Just got two quick stories to throw out here at you, and then we'll take your calls. 800-313-9443. Back to this one from March 8th, and it says infoisrael.net talking about polls and what's going on with Ehud Olmert and Amir Peretz and so on and so forth. It says, additionally, 57% of the public said they're ready to hold new elections as soon as possible, and 72% think Olmert should step down immediately. Now, that's very substantial because that certainly is not 2010 elections. This one is saying 72% are saying, you know, not only should he step down immediately, but 57% think that they should have elections right now, as soon as possible. ASAP. if you will. Now, this comes on the tail end of a story where Jewish rabbis in Israel were trying to rally people to overthrow the Jewish government. That just came out a few months ago. So I don't have that story in front of me, but that was the gist of it. It was really powerful stuff. Anyway, it goes on. In a separate poll conducted by WideNetNews.com and the Smith Institute, 68% of the public said they view the situation in the country as being worse than it was a year ago when Omer was elected. With the staggering public anguish over its government, Likud's Netanyahu said new elections should be seriously considered. He said, quote, most of the public feels a loss of confidence in the government, and now the time has come for justice, end quote. Netanyahu added that the elections are a necessary step since Olmert and Defense Minister Amir Peretz, quote, are symbols of the failures of a sinking ship, end quote. So if Olmert and Peretz are doing their job in the grand scheme of things, and they agree to this peace process, there is going to be revolution. There's going to be problems in Israel. Never mind the peace process everywhere else. There's going to be problems. And we all know that Mossad has basically said that government-sponsored terrorism is not, it's not really beyond the realm of possibility. So the point is that even a cursory acceptance by Ehud Olmert of the Saudi initiative for the peace process is not going to work. Because A, the Israeli people are not going to go for that, and B, the Israeli government, if it wants to facilitate these conflicts, including the one with Iran, it will do so by way of government-sponsored terrorism, a kidnapping of a soldier, perhaps, which was what led to the Gaza movement in the West Bank area prior to the Lebanon War, which was also kicked off because of a kidnapped soldier. Well, we've got 15 of them kidnapped by Iran. Granted, they're British, but that doesn't change anything. The point is, we are seeing, again, the playbook being pulled from all the time, constantly and consistently, pulling from this playbook to facilitate these conflicts. It just happens over and over and over and over again. So you can be the kind of person who believes in perpetual coincidence, or you can be the kind of the person who has an iota of common sense and the ability to say, wait a minute. Finally, dating back to this proof of what I've been talking about, March 8th, YNetNews.com. Prime Minister Ehud Olmert told the Wernigerod Commission that he decided to launch a military operation in case of a kidnapping incident along the Lebanese border as early as March 2006, that's 4 months, count them, 4 months prior to the beginning of the war in Lebanon. Ehud Olmert told the commission investigating the Lebanon war that he decided to launch a military operation in case of a kidnapping incident 4 months before the kidnapping took place. According to Olmert, whose testimony was published by Haaretz on Thursday, the first assessment meeting regarding the situation in Lebanon during his tenure was held on January 8, 2006, just 4 days after he took over for the comatose Ariel Sharon. Additional consultations were held in March, April, May, and after the kidnapping of Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit in June. According to the Haaretz report, during the assessment meeting in March, Olmert asked senior IDF officers whether the Army had operational plans in case of a kidnapping and received a positive response. When asked by the officers why he wanted to see the plans, Olmert said he did not want to wait until an actual kidnapping occurred to make a decision. The Prime Minister eventually chose one of the relatively, quote-unquote, retrained plans presented to him. I assume that means restrained, but it says retrained, which included an aerial attack alongside a limited ground operation. The Prime Minister's office refused to comment on the report. The Wernigerod Commission, which is investigating the war's failures, is expected to present a preliminary report sometime this month. Now, they are doing everything they can to keep that information from coming out, folks. Because what is it? It's just like September 11th. Let's have a drill, or let's come up with a plan for what's going to happen if this should occur. Oh, no, it happened to occur. What a surprise. Anyway, we've got a good 20 minutes here. If you'd like to weigh in with your thoughts on any of this stuff, feel free. It is, of course, 800-313-9443. Toll free worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Again, 4 hours of nonstop news yesterday, an hour and a half of nonstop news here this evening. Surely you have some thoughts on the world. Let's go to John in Ohio. John, welcome to the show.
Yes, well, I haven't heard anywhere near that amount, and I'm just coming out of a sleep now, but it seems to me there's a tone of sort of watching this thing passively from space, and I think there's really an absolutely urgent need for everybody to say that we've got to do something to stop these madmen in the White House, Democrat and Republican, from dragging us into World War III. And you've got even people like Zbigniew Brzezinski. This was the warmonger who spent billions of dollars building up Islamic right-wing fundamentalists in the Carter administration, started the a war in Afghanistan to draw the Soviet Union in. We started that war by sending billions of dollars of arms, training, and financing to these al-Qaeda-type and Mujahideen Islamic fundamentalists, built them into a military force to, as Brzezinski said, to bleed the Soviet Union. We started it. They came in 8 months later, contrary to the mythology we've been told, to destroy a government that was trying to modernize their country. And this man now, a cold warrior, really a warmonger par excellence, is urgently warning everybody in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee a few weeks ago that this would be an absolute disaster. It has to be stopped, these madmen in the White House dragging us into a war, or rather an attack, an unprovoked attack against Iran, that it would be catastrophic. And you've got people like five former generals, American generals, saying they will resign if the United States attacks Iran.
So
This is all unprecedented. Yet the Democrats, I think you just mentioned, you've got the American client puppet states that we have bases in the Gulf Cooperation States and the Emirates and the rest of it. These are usually client puppets of the United States coming out and saying this would be a catastrophe. They're against it. Mm-hmm. Yet the Democrats are usual. Bowing on bended knee, going to the Israeli lobby and saying they will give full support to Israel. Clinton, people like Clinton, Obama, mm-hmm. Edwards, and the rest of them.
Sure.
And then saber rattling against Iran. And I think it's up to the American people. We've got to threaten a general strike. We've got to do everything possible to stop this. And then you've got...
Hold on a second, John, because I think you've made some incredible points. You've basically outlined how these things have always happened, and that a lot of money goes into it, and it's all fixed. Democrat, Republican alike are both on board with the same agenda. So my question to you is, how do we stop it?
I think, first of all, we've got to stop taking this passive spectator view of what's happening, like the deer is in the headline of an oncoming train. I would say that first we've got to show that the Democrats are just as subservient to this poisonous Israeli lobby as Bush is. They are
sure, but how?
Talking it up, and I think we've also got to put on the spot those that are in the gun sights of this a plan for world domination that these neocon fascists in the Bush administration had planned to attack Afghanistan, Iraq, and Iran way back in the 90s under their Project for a New American Century. And it's incredible to me that China and Russia are appeasing this mad plan, because they're in the gun sights. The United States is really wants to grab that oil as a weapon of dictation to China especially, and the rest of the world. And I can't understand why they are going along with these sanctions to appease the United States when they've got to know they're ultimately the ultimate target of this capture of the oil.
Here's where I disagree with that. I think that you're giving the United States a great deal of authority in this whole situation, and you're giving Israel a great deal of authority in this situation. I think we're talking about a new world order. The new world order does not comprise two countries. It comprises all of these different countries, all these different leaders. I mean, do you think that they're not in on it?
Well, I believe that there is I believe that there's a inter-rivalry going on here, but the one that is attacking, the one that has dictated its plans to take over the world and the Project for a New American Century, eliminate any obstacle that they see as an obstacle to that, whether it's in the Middle East and ultimately China, because of its rising economic strength. I believe there are oppositions, economic oppositions, but the aggressor Even Craig Paul Roberts himself has said that it's not China, it's not Russia. They are threatened by this. It's the United States that is aggressing.
I disagree, because China could collapse the U.S. economy in the snap of a finger, instantaneously. They could end any potential conflict, and they haven't done that, so why?
Well, they're interdependent. They don't want to lose that huge market at the same time, and they don't have anywhere near the power militarily of the United States, and I think it's a mistake for them to go along with these latest sanctions, because
well, the sanctions are virtually worthless. I mean, for the most part,
but they are legitimizing the false pretense that the United States is attacking Iran or Iraq for weapons of mass destruction, a nuclear program. It has to do with world domination, taking over that oil, building bases, and threatening the rest of the world, especially China. And I just think that the American people have got to realize, if people like five American generals, this cold warrior like Zbigniew Brzezinski, even these pliant puppets of the United States and the Gulf Cooperation States are ringing the alarm bells that the American people are the only ones left here to threaten a general strike, more protest. Because this is going to make Iraq look like a picnic, as horrible as that is.
No, and I understand it. Let me ask you this. A general strike, meaning like people just refuse to go to work?
Yeah.
You really think that would happen?
I don't know, but it's we're in desperate situations now with the leaks that they may be attacking in April, that they may be dragging us into this situation.
Hold on a second. Let me just pick this apart for a second. Now, a general strike, many people refuse to go to work. I would go to work. Now, you would say, well, Frank, you can't go to work because, you know, hey, we have a strike here. What I would say, shouldn't somebody be reporting on this other than Fox News and CNN? And you'd say, well, yeah. So by your own admission, you know, in this fictional scenario I'm contriving here, you would say, well, yeah, you should go to work. So therefore, some people should work, but not everybody should go to work. So if somebody sees me at work, they're going to say, well, why should he get to go to work? I'm going to go to work, too. See, the thing about it is that people want to work. Why do they want to work? They want to work so they can pay bills. They want to work so they can have income for their families.
Well, sure, but I'm just saying that in whatever methods in this kind of 11th-hour crisis of dragging us into this war out of the desperation of these neocon warmongers, the anti-war movement that isn't tied totally to the Democratic Party have to, I think, protest this. They've got to expose the Democrats' complicity with this. I'm not exactly an organizer, but instead of just looking passively and relating some of the incidents that have developed, this is an urgent situation, and I think that alarming the people as to just how serious it is, it has to be done, because we can't afford to be dragged into a crisis. Mm-hmm. This is the whole plan of the neocons, to fail forward.
It's not just the neocons, John.
And then hysterically try to panic people, make them stupid.
It's not just the neocons. Look, whether we have a fear of terrorism and we proceed with world domination, or we have
we don't have a fear of terrorism. That's a phony
thing. John, come on. John, listen.
Yeah.
What I'm saying here is that all the things you're talking about are the things that we've been doing. You're talking about how we got to stop the neocon agenda. It's not just a neocon agenda. You said it yourself, that the Democrats are complicit, and we need to make people aware. How do we make them aware? I don't know. How do we do this? I don't know. Look, those five generals who have threatened to quit, they haven't quit yet. So just the threat of quitting is not enough to do anything. So the idea that we can somehow get together and wake up America, what the hell have we all been trying to do for the last 5, 6, 7 years, for me, and for a lot of people out there, for 40 years, 50 years?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
Well, how do we? Well, how?
Well,
everybody knows what needs to be done.
I haven't heard your program except a couple hours worth, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying that the alarm bells have to be set off. People are sleepwalking.
I know.
And the Democrats and the Republicans, we have to, I think, primarily expose the Democrats as the disguised quislings of the obvious fascist in the Bush administration.
I know.
Because they are the enablers.
Sure,
they
sure
are the ones that are every bit as subservient on bended knee to this poisonous Israeli lobby.
Absolutely.
And that they have to be exposed as such, rather than give this idea that somehow they are a genuine opposition, which is a popular misconception among much of the population.
Sure, and I understand that, and I agree with you completely and totally. What we differ on is the hows and the whys. See, here's the thing. I don't think it's political in nature. I don't think that the U.S. is at the top of this food chain. I don't think that Democrat or Republican alike or independent is going to save or sink this country. I don't think that the people are going to wake up in a mass number at this point. I don't think there's anything that you can do, anything I can do anymore.
Well, I don't take that
anymore
kind of attitude because...
Well, tell me a solution then. You're telling me what we need to do, but you're not telling me how.
I'm not going to just look at this like...
Tell me. That's all you're doing, John. You're calling into a show and saying, we should do this, but you're not telling anybody how. Tell me how. Tell me how.
The same kind of commitment that those five generals have taken.
They didn't make a commitment. They threatened to do something. They threatened.
We could threaten to have a general strike.
We can threaten a general strike, but people won't do it, John. That's what I'm telling you.
Well, we can't sit there with our lemonade and
then what do we do?
We've got to do all we can, and we've got to.
We are doing all we can.
Expose the fact that even the Russians and the
John, we got to take a break, buddy. I'm sorry.
Okay.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. Tail end of the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. Frankly Speaking Radio, I am your host, Frank Whalen. Let's get back and let John finish up. John, Ohio, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I think there is hope. The American people, the Iraqi people, the American soldiers, and I think you're misconceiving their opinion, because
no.
Last year Zoghbi poll showed that 72% of them, or rather in 2006, 72% mm-hmm. thought they should be brought out.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on a second, John. First of all, I didn't misconstrue their opinion. What I said is on the record they would give the Bush administration a thumbs up. Okay, a Zoghbi poll is an anonymous poll. Okay?
Well, here's what I'm saying.
No. Listen. Well, go ahead, quickly. I don't want to argue either, but we're running out of time. Go ahead.
The point I'm making is that this Zoghbi poll said that they wanted out of there, and the second point was that they still believed Bush's lies. It would probably be 99% if they didn't believe Bush's lies. They're under military discipline. Some anonymous person asking them that kind of a it's much higher than 72%. The American people want out of there. The Iraqi people, mm-hmm. by the largest, overwhelming majority, want out.
Yes.
So I think there is hope. We've got to expose these dangerous warmongers.
How?
Whatever we're doing and calling for more demonstrations, whatever kind
of
agenda.
Because the demonstrations worked so well. Don't forget about the fact of the millions of people worldwide.
Right.
Listen to me. The millions of people worldwide who protested the Iraq War before it even started.
That's why I'm saying that it has to be escalated to a general strike.
It's not going to happen.
To say that is to say that it's all going to happen.
John, let me ask you one question, and then we'll have to wrap up here. Are you a person of faith?
No, I'm not.
There you go. Okay, that's why you don't get it, John. That's why you'll never get it, John.
It has nothing to do with this idea that we're going to wait for some exterior power. It's in our hands. God helps those who help themselves.
That's not in the Bible.
Well, whether it is or not, it makes a hell of a lot of sense. Because it's up
no, it
to
doesn't,
us.
John. Because
this
you have John, you have no solutions. John, you have no solutions. You have nothing to offer this conversation.
The people
John,
have to end this.
John,
now,
yes,
you're simply sitting there with a lemonade in an easy chair and recording some of this stuff. We've got to stop.
What are you talking about?
If even people,
I'm
like
doing my job.
Zbigniew Brzezinski.
All right, John.
Like
I'm done with you. Go away. Go away, John.
We can.
John, you're done. Okay. You have nothing to offer constructive. All you have are vague concepts and no implementation. You're worthless as far as solving anything. You're one of those armchair quarterbacks yourself. I may report and analyze, but you have nothing to contribute. Absolutely nothing. All you say is, we need to do this. Generals are threatening to quit. Well, that's great. They're threatening to. Have they done it? No. So you're saying that they're threatening to quit if we go into Iran. Do you really think that's likely? Do you know anybody who served in the military? If we go into Iran, they're not going to abandon their troops, okay? There's a sense of loyalty, not to George W. Bush, but to America, to the ideals of America, and to their fellow soldiers. They're not going to abandon those troops. I don't think they'll quit, even if we do go into Iran. And if they're so upset about Iraq, why are they still there now? Why aren't they resigning now? So, John, your idea, we need a general strike, we need to do this, we need to do that. People need to eat. Let's be realistic. Now, you obviously are not a person of faith. That's why you don't have any. That's why it doesn't make sense to you. Look, I understand. We've all been there. I've had moments of lapses of faith as well, my friend. And you need to have faith. I'm not saying God's going to, you know, come down here and fight all the battles for you and everything like that. It's going to be hard on us, but it's like that for a purpose. You can't understand Ephesians, okay? Rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Have a great weekend.